All right, so today I'm going to talk about improving parent-child sexual health communication among Hispanics. And here's my disclosure. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Now, Jessica just said that parents can either be risk factors or protective factors for youth and their behaviors. And there's been a bunch of research that's done on parent-child communication and connectedness that shows that parent-child connectedness can actually reduce adolescent risk behaviors, including sexual risk behaviors. Now, the problem is that the parents, when it comes to talking about sex, parents face a bunch of barriers about communicating with their children. First of all, they're not sure if they have the latest and the most current knowledge. They're not sure if they have the skills, and they're not sure if they can do it, besides the usual embarrassment and that they face when they have to talk about a sensitive topic. Especially in Hispanic communities that are disproportionately affected by sexual health outcomes, certain cultural barriers may also exist. For example, sex being a sensitive topic, parents don't really want to broach that topic or talk about it. They would rather just not talk about it. So we have a program in two Hispanic border communities that are economically disadvantaged communities in Texas. These two communities have about 20,000 residents, and they have high rates of teen pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections. And to enhance prevention efforts, we decided to have a strong parental component in one of our programs where we could equip Hispanic parents with the knowledge and the skills to change their communication behaviors with their children. So we basically wanted to encourage communication between parents and children about sexual health topics. A little bit of background about these communities and why we targeted these communities. What you have on screen in front of you are the birth rates for 15 to 19-year-olds in the US. And Texas as a state has a higher teen birth rate than the national rate. El Paso County, where our program communities are based, has an even higher teen birth rate. And the two districts that we're in, San Elizario and Fabens, have a teen birth rate that's double the county birth rate. So these are, you know, communities that have a really high teen birth rate. They recognize that as a problem and wanted to do something about it. Also, 70% of the county birth rates are to teen mothers. So teen pregnancy and teen births were an issue here. Other sexual health outcomes, like the sexually transmitted infection rates, like gonorrhea and chlamydia. What you see in front of you are the rates in El Paso County, the border, as well as Texas, the state of Texas. And El Paso County, where we're at, has a higher gonorrhea rate than the border, but lower than the state of Texas. And chlamydia, the rate is higher than the border rate as well as the state rate. Now, these numbers don't quite gel with what we think may be happening over there because these are economically disadvantaged communities. They have little access to health services. So lack of awareness and lack of access to services may be a factor in low detection rates of these particular infections. So we developed a parent curriculum that was adapted from some of our previous work along the border areas. And the goal was to increase parent-child connectedness and sexual health communication. We also provided information and skills training for parenting adults on parent-child connectedness. And when I say parenting adults, I'm including grandparents along with the parents, because in this area, a lot of grandparents were taking care of kids when the parents were outside the house and working. So we just bunched them together and called them parenting adults. This program was provided to parenting adults in these two border communities between 2007 and 2009. We have a curriculum called Building Family Connections, or Construyendo Familias Unidas. So we have an English and a Spanish version of this. It provides 10 hours of training on topics such as sexually transmitted infections, teen pregnancy, contraception, effective parent-child communication, and decision-making. And we also assess changes in knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors through pre-post surveys to see how well the program is doing or how badly. The objectives of the program are to increase parent knowledge of risk factors for STIs and teen pregnancy, and also to improve parenting adult and child communication and sexual health issues. I'm going to talk about the results from our program now. We've reached about 263 parenting adults that we know of. Of course, there are some people who drop out earlier who come only for a few classes. Predominantly, these classes consist of females or the mothers or grandmothers, which is not really surprising since they're the ones that the kids are talking to mostly. The age range of our participants has ranged from 18 to 80 years with a median of 40 years. Remember, we have both parents and grandparents in these classes. It's predominantly Hispanic, so 98% Hispanic participants. We have matched responses from 170 parenting adults. Again, most of them are females. The age range for this group is 18 to 69 years with a median of 40 years. Again, predominantly Hispanic, 98% Hispanic. Here's a little picture of a graduation event that we have at the end of these parenting classes. So this is an incentive for the parents to keep coming for the 10-hour curriculum. And we do get feedback from the parents on how they want this program. Do they want it as a one-day workshop, a two-day workshop, or do they want it over 5 weeks or 10 weeks? But we do want them to keep coming back until they finish the curriculum, and their incentive is that they do attend a graduation event where they get a completion or a graduation certificate. And here's a little ceremony that we have for the parents so that, it's in recognition of the work that they have done in completing the curriculum. Now, the results from our evaluations, we've seen really good results from our program. We've seen increases in knowledge on several items, including items on consequences of sexually transmitted infections, such as cervical cancer, the fact that sexually transmitted infections can cause infertility, the fact that condoms are not exactly the answer to parent-child communication and sexual health issues, because we've heard of cases where, the father would just provide a few condoms to their son, and that was the end of the talk. So we do talk about, you have to talk about anatomy and reproduction, fertilization. You have to talk about the consequences. What message do you want your kids to get? You form the message, and you give it to them. We also educate our parents about the risk factors. So everybody knows that early sexual debut is associated with multiple partners, and that increases risks of adolescents when it comes to sexually transmitted infections and pregnancies. Also in this area, pregnancy, there are certain cultural beliefs about teen pregnancy where, teen girls have seen their older siblings or their mothers get pregnant at an early age, and that's the future that they know. Also, sometimes they're trying to keep their boyfriends by getting pregnant. So trying to educate them about, keeping their boyfriends is not necessarily going to happen if they get pregnant. Also, educating our parents about the risks of pregnancy in girls who have boyfriends that are much older than them. So we've seen changes in those kinds of items, as well as changes in items such as the site of fertilization, information on dating violence, which is quite prevalent in this region. We've also seen some changes in attitudes. For example, parents who took part in our classes, there was an increased proportion of parents that said that they do want their child to be in a committed relationship, such as marriage, before their child started having sex. They also said that after the classes, they were more comfortable talking to their kids about sexual health topics, such as sexually transmitted infections. We've seen changes in skills and behaviors of parents. So a larger proportion of these parents now know how to start a conversation about sex with their kid. So they don't just go out there and ask their kid, are you having sex? They know that to start a conversation, they have to use a teachable moment when they're watching TV with their kids, or come up with a more open-ended question, like, what do your friends think about sex at this age? We've also seen an increased frequency of communication on sexual health after these parents have gone through our classes. So earlier, less than half of our parents were talking to their kids about sexual health topics at least once a week. But after going through the classes, about two-thirds of these parents have talked to their kids about sexual health topics at least once a week. So these are just some of the results that were on the table. Were on the tables in the previous slides. And I do want to mention that I have some handouts on the table at the back in case you want to take a handout back with you. So just the changes that we've seen in knowledge of risk factors and for early sexual debut. Another surprising outcome that we've seen from these classes, something that we totally did not expect, is how these parenting adults are sharing the information that they get from these classes with other people. So not only are they talking to their children, they're also talking to their other adult family members. So they're going home and sharing this information with people in the house. They're talking to their neighbors and friends about the information that they learn in these classes. They're also talking to, of course, they're talking to their children. And they're also talking to other youth who are their child's age, so probably their kids' friends or cousins and nephews and nieces. So this was a pretty surprising outcome. We were happy to see it, of course, and it's just, it probably means more word of mouth publicity for the program as well as more dissemination of the information that we're providing. So in conclusion, our Spanish version of the parent curriculum, Construyendo Familias Unidas, is effective in increasing parent-child sexual health communication. And basically, programs, especially for minority populations, should focus on overcoming barriers to increase parental involvement, since parental involvement can be a protective factor in adolescent health. Also, it's really important to keep cultural beliefs, cultural attitudes in mind when planning for these programs, because you have to tailor messages in these programs and you have to deliver messages in these programs based on what's going on in those communities. And all communities are different. So it's really important to be culturally, educationally, and linguistically appropriate while using program strategies. So implications for programs, policy, and research. I cannot stress enough that parental involvement is really important, especially in youth sexual health. Parents are the people who could counter the messages that these adolescents are getting from the media, from TV, from the internet, from their friends. And any programs that target minority populations should focus on parental involvement. And of course, we do need further research on what happens after these parents have completed the classes. So we do have data from the parents after they finish the curriculum, but what happens long term is what we would be interested in seeing. And we are collecting those data from these communities as well to see if they retain this information over 6 months or 12 months or 2 years. Also, further research is needed on the impact on youth. What do the teens feel about parental communication on sexual health issues? How does this program impact the youth, not only the parents? So with the goal of a happy and healthy family, especially in minority populations like Hispanics, we do want to provide the necessary information and skills to parents so that they can talk to their kids about their sexual health. Also, just the regular disclaimer, the study was funded by two separate grants, one from the CDC and one from the Administration for Children and Families. And nothing that I said over here represents the views of the government, the ACF, CDC, Department of Health and Human Services, or anybody else. So these are solely my views. And that's my contact information. If you have any questions or if you need further information about the program, feel free to email me or call me. I'd be happy to get back to you. And I do have to leave for another presentation in another few minutes or so. And that presentation's in another room during the same session time. So if you have any questions. So
you can ask questions of her now and any pressing of others. We're going to try to move it and wait for the questions, but for Dr. Mahotra, feel free to ask some questions now.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to answer those questions one at a time. So your first question was about recruitment, and I think most of the people here will be aware of the fact that parental recruitment is one of the biggest challenges in public health programs. We have several factors working for us in the program communities that we're in. This particular aspect, the parent program, is part of a bigger program that also reaches out to high school and middle school kids, and we work with the schools in the district. So the schools have parent liaisons who help us recruit parents. We also, our program administrator and health educators are all from that area, so they already have relationships that they've built up over time. And another version of this parent program has been going on for quite a few years before we actually got into these school districts. So some people had attended some of these classes before we started working with the school districts. And the rest of it is just word of mouth publicity. You know, when they go back, they tell their neighbors, they tell their friends, they tell their relatives about the classes, and they say, hey, you really need to go for these classes. We've also worked with other community entities like the Housing Authority. We've worked with the churches to help recruit parents for the classes. So we've had a lot of community support in doing that. And then the second question was about the parents or the mothers already being quite comfortable talking to their kids about sexual health topics. Yeah, that is a little bit surprising because we get different data from the different people that we talk to. One of the things that's happening in these classes is that we're not randomly picking parents to participate in the classes. So the parents have to have some kind of motivation to come to these classes. They have to already be thinking that this is an important topic. I want to talk to my kids about this. They might already be doing this in a little way, and they just need more information. So I personally think that these are already motivated parents who are coming for the classes. They recognize that this is an important thing that they need to talk about, which is one of the reasons why they could already be comfortable with discussing the whole topic of sex. Yes, ma'am. At a future date, we will probably merge the student data sets with the parent data and see if you know, if we get different responses from, you know, students of or children of parents who've been to these classes, or if you know, these parents are parents of girls or boys. We haven't looked at that yet, but that's an interesting thought. Did you have a question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, recruiting fathers or the male parent is challenging. One of the reasons we think the women are more interested in these classes is because it could be cultural. Generally, male parents they're not very comfortable talking about sex, even with the sons. And so they think communication and talking about all these things is the mother's responsibility. And the mothers are probably better communicators at home. They're talking about other stuff like school, what's going on in schools, what's going on with their friends. So being the communicators in the family, they're you know, they're coming for the classes a little bit more. But you know, we haven't specially tried to recruit male parents for the classes. It's left open to all. Yes, ma'am.
Did you collect information on the parents, grandparents, or parents when they were teens?
No, we don't ask them that. But a lot of them do come up and volunteer that information during the classes, because these classes almost become like support groups where they're talking to each other about what's going on in their lives and how to talk to their kids and stuff. But we don't really want the parents to feel that, you know, that has anything to do with talking to their kids about sex, whether they were teen parents or not. They still should be talking to their kids. So, yes, ma'am? We've worked with Promotoras before. This curriculum actually started as a Promotora curriculum like 7 or 8 years back. And then the parents wanted it, or grandparents wanted it, so it was modified a little bit for grandparents in the community since they were looking after their kids. And then now it's being provided to the parents. So yes, we've worked with Promotoras, but not at the moment. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.